Welcome to the Aging Project podcast. We called it that for a reason, because yes, aging is happening to all of us. But how we age? Well, that's not just luck. It's shaped by the choices we make. That's why we say you are the project. Your health, your body, your habits, your next chapter. This podcast, our 120 Club, and our products exist to keep you focused on what really matters. For those who are ready to take action, grab our free scorecard, including the 10 markers we want you to start tracking now. You can download them at theagingproject.com. We believe there is no reason women can't live to 100 or even 120, so let's get on with doing it together. Before we begin, a quick reminder, if any products are mentioned in today's conversation, you'll find them at youmusttryit.com. And with that, let's dive into today's conversation. Today we're talking about something many women over 50 experience, but we rarely talk about because, well, it's just plainly embarrassing. We're talking leaking, urgency for the bathroom, prolapse, and the quiet fear that exercise, as much as we want to do it, is just going to make things worse. So if you have ever crossed your legs when you sneeze, if you have ever planned your outing around where the public toilets are, or you've just stopped moving because you are worried, this episode is for you. These issues are so common, but they're rarely something that you actually have to live with. Today I am joined by pelvic health physiotherapist Michelle Kenway. She is a YouTube sensation. She's incredibly passionate about practical confidence building support, from pelvic floor exercises done properly to bowel health to exercising safely after menopause. Michelle, we are just so grateful that you've got time to join us today. Thank you.
Oh, Shelley, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to your listeners. It's a real privilege to be here and to share this information with everyone. And as you said, it's something that we don't often discuss openly. So I think it's a really great opportunity to discuss issues that happen with our intimate areas openly in this kind of a forum and share that what's normal with women, because a lot of the time we don't think that things are going on are normal, and we think it's just us, and there's that veil of shame when actually so many of us are experiencing the same issues.
Well, you're so amazing about talking about this so openly and so warmly. It makes it a really easy conversation to have. But before we do get into the exercises and solutions, can you just reassure our audience listening how common a bladder and bowel leak is for women?
It's extremely common, Shelley. What we're told with the stats is that one in every two women will have problems with continence, with bladder control, particularly if something we call stress urinary incontinence. So that's leaking urine when you cough or when you sneeze, those types of issues. But what's less commonly known is the problem of prolapse, which means a falling down of the organs inside the vagina. And this is also, the stats are one in every two women that have a vaginal delivery will have this issue. So a lot of the time women feel that they are alone with this, and you know, it's something we don't necessarily want to even talk to our doctors about. But it's something we as pelvic floor physios see every day. It's something that GPs see every day, and it's such a common issue. And I think it's something that's really important to talk about, because then we break down that stigma and that unnecessary shame, because I really think some women should wear it as a badge of honour, because look what our bodies have gone through, and this is the outcome. But it's also to reassuring to know that there is a lot that can be done and not have to suffer unnecessarily.
And look, that is really exciting, if that's the right word to use. I know that a lot of women just say, oh, well, this is my new normal now. This is what I'm just going to have to put up with. And crazily, even having had children and gone through that entire sort of process, as beautiful as it was, we're still embarrassed to talk about these things and anything that's going on down below.
And it's a bit of a giggle, isn't it? Like, oh, I don't want to do that because and you see everyone, you know, and I even watch at the gym, you know, everyone runs to the loo before they go into their class and come back and, you know, all those sorts of things. And it's something that we just don't really discuss, but it's happening. It's very obvious that it's happening. And I think also too, fecal incontinence is another issue that is very common amongst menopausal women and postmenopausal women. And there's often a lot of shame. And that's just not loss of stool. That's also loss of control of gas, some smearing after using the bowel. So there is a whole realm of issues there that, you know, they've become, there's a stigma associated with it, and it's unnecessary. And I think, as I said before, the more we talk about it openly and realise that it is normal, then the better we all feel about ourselves and the more empowered we are to do something about it.
Because this is an everyday conversation for you, probably 100 times a day with your client.
When I get into Coles, I feel something wrong. Oh, Michelle, about those exercises and about my prolapse surgery. Talk about it.
Or you see someone pushing the trolley and they suddenly just stop and cross their legs and have a little sneeze and keep going.
And my kids are there, Mum. And I'm like, hey, Mum, I just really need to talk to this person about this lady, about their blood. I just hang on, darling.
It happens. All right. Yeah. Where would you like to start this conversation? What do you think everyone needs to know?
Okay, well, I think we've established the fact that these issues are normal and that they happen in varying degrees. Often they sometimes can happen to women after they have their first baby, and that's often a real shock. And a lot of women feel very upset and angry that this has happened. And I think that's one of the most common things I hear from younger women. And I think this is important for the listeners here too, because this is their daughters. This is our daughters, our daughter-in-laws that are going through this. And they feel, and I think we have a responsibility as part of the mature generation to speak openly about these things, mm-hmm. to inform our younger people as well. But that's the first part. The second part is with menopause. So women will often find that when menopause starts, when the hormones start to change, that they might notice a bit of leakage. They might notice a bit of urgency, that sudden need to empty the bladder and go just in case. Or they might feel some unusual sensations like a bulging in the vagina or even some difficulty emptying the bowel. All these are the sorts of things that tend to appear in menopause and after menopause. And that is particularly because of the changes. Well, first of all, often the changes that have happened early on with pregnancy and with the type of delivery they've had, but then also to the change of the hormones and the decline in estrogen, because our pelvic floor really needs estrogen to work. So the tissues in the vagina, and women will be very familiar with, you know, vaginal atrophy, that, you know, that lack of the vaginal dryness and those sorts of problems. But we're not so much aware of problems with thinning of the pelvic floor muscles. So just like the pelvic floor muscles are just like muscles in our biceps. So if we don't exercise them, they shrink. And it's the same as the pelvic floor muscles. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a little while, go through that. But those muscles will shrink and thin when they don't have that nourishing estrogen to thicken them up and make them strong and healthy. And this is a time when changes happen in the pelvic floor there that make them more susceptible to these types of problems. So I think they're the key times. And I think it's really important that women throughout their lives and younger women as well, what we teach our children has a big impact on their pelvic floors later on as well. So there is so much to talk about here. Even, you know, as mature women, if we encourage our grandchildren, for example, to, you know, empty your bladder now because we're going into the car, what we then teach them to do is empty their bladder just in case. So we're decreasing their bladder capacity, and we're actually promoting pelvic floor problems and bladder problems later on, even though we don't realise it. So what we do, what we say to our younger generation has a big impact, as well as us being empowered ourselves to really lead healthy, strong physical lives, keep ourselves well, and be role models to the younger generation as well, and to be open in our discussions with them.
Well, I think we often do that too. Oh, come to the bathroom with me.
Yeah, that's right.
And let's just go. So you're saying that's actually weakening your bladder and your control muscles.
Yeah, it does. So with the bladder, the idea is to go when you feel an appropriate urge. So as we often get older, this is how women develop what we call urinary frequency or urgency. And a lot of women listening will know that they'll know every public toilet in the area, and they'll map their day. And actually there's really great public toilet maps too, by the way. We should leave the URL for that, because there are maps where women can actually know where all the public toilets are, which is really great. And there's also a UK one too, if you're travelling in the UK, so you can actually find every... But this is important things for women to know with bladder urgency. But, yeah, so they actually have that that problem with the urgency. And so if we then encourage our children to empty their bladders all the time, then we actually shrink that bladder capacity so that when the bladder gets a bit of urine in it, it senses the urge to contract rather than being fully and expanded. Different to the bowel, because when we say when you feel the urge to empty the bowel, you go, because then issues happen, and issues happen with little ones as well as mature women. If we defer using our bowel, the rectum can stretch and we lose sensation in that area. So it's two different things. So bladder, you go, well, bladder, you wait as long as you can, but bowel, you, well, not as long as you can, you wait until you've got a reasonable strong urge to empty, but bowel, you go when you get that first urge.
And that's for anyone at any age, at anyone, any time in their life?
At any age, yeah. So we don't want to encourage children. We don't want to encourage young people to empty their bladder. The only time that we do that is if someone had something called urinary retention. And sometimes after surgery, for men and women, and after prostate surgery, or if they've had a catheter, or women as well, then they find trouble emptying the bladder. And so then we say, okay, you need to empty that bladder, because there is a risk of overstretching as well. Mm-hmm. So if we try to actually try to encourage people to empty their bladder before it gets to 500 mils in volume. So that's normally the volume. And it's a really great test you can do just with a jug and a measure. You use it as a measure. You can put an ice cream container in the toilet and measure how much you go. And, you know, really every time we go to the toilet, we should be emptying between 350 and 500 mils. So that you know if you're doing these frequent little empties all throughout the day.
A cup and a half.
50 mils. Yeah, yeah. That should be. And, you know, you sit in a public toilet and you have a listen and you'll think, oh, yeah, that was a really good wee. Hang on, man. Maybe she. Oh, hang on. That was just a little. Maybe she should have gone a little bit longer.
that's fascinating. So, yeah. How many times a day?
Well, ideally, we should be going
the norm.
Well, it depends. Different people. It depends on how much you're drinking. If you're taking diuretics.
Yeah, but if we're doing our 2 liters a day of water,
6 to 8 times a day.
6 to 8 times a day, and you're doing a cup and a half once at night each time.
Yeah, between 350 and 500 mils each time. So if you're doing those little trickles every time, you're going too often.
Okay, yeah. And then what about bowel movements? What's your recommendation, or what should we be doing? What's average?
People really vary. So they can vary to daily or a couple of times a day to once a week. But we say that constipation exists when a person consistently can't empty their bowel for over that 5-6 days consistently over a number of months. That is constipation. So it's quite normal for people not to empty their bowel on that regular basis, even though they often feel uncomfortable. So it's quite different for bladder and bowel. It's really useful to use a bladder diary or a bowel diary. And as physiotherapists, this is part of our assessment procedure. So we get you to fill in a little bladder diary or a bowel diary to check how many times you're going. And there can be lots of different factors that can be influencing it. Like, as you probably know, Shelley, when you go away, what happens on holidays? And women always talk about this, get constipated. And it's just one of those things that changes. And I think that's also, bowel is very important because straining to empty the bowel is one of the biggest causes of pelvic floor problems in women. So this is a really big issue. So straining, that means pushing down and bearing down to go, that's a huge problem. So we want to prevent that as much as we can.
You don't really, I guess you think about these things every day, because hopefully you're going every day, but to know what the normal is. So I love the fact that we've actually spelt that out for everybody to know how it should feel too, not pushing too harsh, but go when you need to go for your bowel and hold on a little bit more for a week.
There's a really great technique called moo to poo. Do you know it?
I did read it in my notes, but no, I don't know moo to poo.
And I think it's wonderful for your listeners to know, as well as to teach their grandchildren as well, because it's a way of not straining and it's a way of emptying your bowel. And basically what you do is when you empty your bowel, am I allowed to talk about bowel here openly?
Of course you can. Yes, this is an open forum. Okay. If we can't talk about it with you, Michelle, we're in all sorts. Okay.
So the first thing is, when we empty our bladder or bowel, is to sit on the toilet. If you hover, you contract your abdominal muscles and you contract your pelvic floor muscles and you won't empty as effectively. So even if you're in a public toilet, and there's been all these studies done on what can you catch in a public toilet? Nothing. So you get more risk of putting your head over the edge and flushing the toilet, catching something when it flushes up, than sitting on the toilet.
Great. So sit down solid.
So sit down. In actual fact, it's easier to squat, if anything. So straining means you sit on the toilet and you hold your breath and you make that sound. That's a strain. And when you do that, the area, so if I talk about pelvic floor, if you feel where your sit bones are side to side, can you feel that? Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And then if you feel the bone at the front, and that's your pubic bone and the tailbone, your muscles are underneath there in like a hammock. So when you strain and when you push down, that area pushes down. So when that area pushes down, that becomes weak and stretched over time. So you're stretching out your pelvic floor muscles over time, and this is what causes so many problems with bladder leakage, with bowel incontinence, because the muscles are being stretched, and stretched muscles don't contract well because the little fibers are lengthened. They need to be in optimal position. So you've got to stretch, saggy pelvic floor if you strain constantly. And this is an issue that people with IBS commonly experience, constant straining.
So can you feel that, Michelle?
Women will know that. It's something called perineal descent. And you can do this now. If you just, and listeners can do this now, particularly if they're sitting, where you're sitting now, or I get women just if they're lying down, to put a hand over that area of the pelvic floor, so over the vagina and the anus. And if you just do a very small cough, and you can do this now, feel what happens down your pelvic floor. Sorry, can you do a little tiny cough?
Yes.
Okay. Could you feel what happened to your pelvic floor?
Yes.
What happened?
There's a drop, like a...
Exactly.
Feeling, yes.
That's it. And that's what, yeah, it drops. Yes. It drops. So your pelvic floor, so your butt has moved down, and this is why women leak when they cough, because everything's stretching down and the bladder neck's moving, so the urine can escape.
So that's shouldn't why, do that.
So what we need to do is actually hold the pelvic floor muscles with a pelvic floor exercise to hold that up before we cough, before we sneeze. And that's a lesson in it. So if you hold it up and cough, then, but I can talk about that in a minute if you
like. Is this Kegels? Is this what Kegels are?
This is what the Kegels and this is pelvic floor exercises. This is a mystery, isn't it? Because who teaches us this until we really need to know it?
Until it's too late, really.
School children.
Not too late, just already necessary.
It's like one of those things that we think, that's not going to happen to me. And then when we start leaking or we start having bulging in our vagina or rectal problems, think, oh, hang on, what's that pelvic floor thing again? What are those muscles? What do they do? And as a physio myself, I was a trained physio and I didn't know how to do pelvic floor exercises. And that's how I ended up in this field after having my first baby. So I think it's very understandable that people don't understand this, because how do they learn? How do we learn? We can't see the muscles from the outside, can we? It's not as if it's the biceps or the back or... Yeah, so often it doesn't happen until people have problems and they might need surgery, or they're noticing that they're having problems, they get referred to a pelvic floor physio, or they hear the word Kegels and they think, what is that? But that's a problem in itself, because there is a lot of misinformation out there about what a pelvic floor exercise is and what a Kegel exercise is.
Well, that's it. And we've talked about the fact that obviously women who have had pregnancies and births, I guess we sort of think about this more because we've always been worried about it, but I still never have the solution. Does the same thing happen just as you age? If you didn't have children, will you still have this stretching or weakening of the pelvic floor?
Yes, it can happen to women regardless of whether we have children or not. So having a cesarean might be mildly protective, but it doesn't mean that you won't have problems. And I think I often like to think about a lovely lady that I had. She was actually a nun and she was in her 90s, probably my eldest patient that I ever had. And she had stress incontinence and we worked on her pelvic floor muscles, and she had a wonderful result strengthening those muscles. But it does just go to show, at any age, any stage in life, and any woman can, or man too, can have this problem, just because these are skeletal muscles just like any other muscle in our body, which is why we need to work them, exercise them, and train them throughout our lives.
I was talking to my mum recently, and it was a reminder how lucky we are. Today we have access to tools previous generations never had. We're in an exciting time, and we're here to make sure that you get access to it all. That's why we're partnered with Fitchings, Australia's leading preventative DNA testing company. Genetic testing isn't scary. It helps you understand your body better and gives you a roadmap for where to focus first. Susan from our community emailed us recently to say she learned more from her Fit Genes report than she had in a lifetime. So if you'd like to start your own DNA journey, like Susan, visit theagingproject.com and join our free DNA webinar to begin. So having been a physio and then having children, you only at that point realised that, hold on, something's been missing here from my training. I don't even know how to strengthen these muscles or what I need to do.
Yeah, we had one lecture, Shelley, one lecture on women's health at that time. And, so I had to go back to uni. And I went back to uni twice just to learn, because in here in Brisbane, there were no pelvic floor physios. So I noticed a little beginner's course that was run at the RBH, and I went to that course. And then I thought, hang on, I really need to know. I need to fix myself after my big baby. And so that's what led to me wanting to know more, and then realising that women don't know this, don't understand this, and really need to feel empowered with this issue. Yeah, it could be worth going through pelvic floor exercises. Shelley, would you like me to talk about pelvic floor exercise thinking
yes,
for
please.
Your listeners? So
yes,
that they actually
please.
Know? Well, it's because sometimes, I mean, I've had some ladies come to see me in the clinic, and they'll say, oh, okay, I'm ready to get on the floor. I say, what? Because we're doing pelvic floor exercises. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding about pelvic floor and what these exercises are.
So, well, I think we all learned how to must increase our bust,
yeah,
didn't we?
Exercise.
But we've never learned this other the other side.
That never worked for me though. I did try that. I remember my teacher.
No, me either.
let's just start with the basics. So when I talked about before where the pelvic floor muscles are, so I normally get ladies to sit and say, feel between your sit bones, wiggle side to side. Yeah, you can feel that area. Yep, feel the front bone. Feel the tailbone. So now you know those muscles are like a little hammock, like a trampoline in and around that area. So this is the way I like to teach it. I like to start with the back passage or the anus. And I say to ladies, or I tell you now, what I'd like you and your listeners to do is to just very gently see if you can squeeze close the anus as if you're stopping gas from passing. And now let it go and relax. So your pelvic floor muscles do wrap around the anus. That's part of the pelvic floor muscles. Now, when you do that, try not to squeeze your buttocks and try not to pull your tummy in. So when you're starting to learn this, the idea is to do this really gently. It's developing a motor skill. There's plenty of time for strengthening down the track. It's most important that you learn to do the exercise correctly. So correct technique is everything with this, like any form of muscle training. So squeezing the anus and letting it relax. Now, see if you can squeeze it and lift it up and inwards towards your body. Keep breathing. Keep your back relaxed. Yeah.
I hope here I am. I'm concentrating so hard that if you're listening to this as a podcast, that's fine. If you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see it. Yeah. Yeah. My eyes kind of I'm concentrating.
Yes, and it does take concentration. So now move forward to the vagina. So we do three parts, the anus first, then the vagina. So with the vagina, again, try to squeeze it closed. And then try to lift inwards and up and keep breathing. Keep lifting. Watch the eyebrow movement, because that's not it.
Lifting.
You try to lift it. You try to lift everything, and we've got to try and just isolate it to that area and let it go. And when I say let it go, relax it down completely. Mm-hmm. And then the final part to this is around the opening to the bladder. That's called the urethral opening. So if you're in private, you can actually use your hand over this area, and you should be feeling lifting away from that area. That's why sitting on a seat can be really good, or sitting on a rolled up towel or the end of a couch, a lounge, so that you can actually get a reference point to lift away from, because it's getting that feeling of what's actually going on is the really critical. Otherwise it's like in space, where is my vagina? Where is my pelvic floor? I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that's really critical.
This is like doing bicep curls, for example.
It's just the same.
Is it the same? Do you do three sets of 12?
You do. So when you do that exercise correctly, you put back passage, middle and front all together. So you draw all up and in, hold it, and then relax down. So just like bicep curls, and in terms of the exercise physiology and the training, it's very similar to biceps. But the only difference is these are very small muscles. So compared to biceps, which is a relatively larger muscle, we do say, try to train 3 lots of 10 reps if you can. Mm-hmm. So up to 10 seconds each time. But most women can start, if they're lucky, about 2 or 3 seconds. So we say, that's great. That's where you start. If you can start at 1 second, excellent. That's where you start. Just get the idea of doing the exercise correctly, and that is gold. Once you've got that, then over time, keep that correct technique, and you'll find that you can then hold the holds longer and then release it slowly, have a rest. Before your next exercise, go again and rest. So you might do that up to 10 times. So let's say you could do 2 second holds, you do two and down and two and down and rest. And then you can do some fast reps. And this is for your coughing and sneezing. So those first ones are for your endurance fibers, for women that have problems with bladder urgency, for prolapse holding everything up. So we want to train the muscles to work for a long period of time. But they also need to be able to contract quickly. So when we cough, when we sneeze, when we laugh, when we lift, when we jump at the gym, all those sorts of things. So you need to be able to do the 10. And I find these much easier, and I don't know how you'll find them, but if you just try and do a 1 second, lift up and squeeze and relax and let go. So squeeze and lift inwards and relax and let go. And again, squeeze and lift in.
So, Michelle, we've got those exercises and you're saying do sets of 10 and work your way up from there, and we can do this just once a day, or should we be doing this in the morning and before bed?
It's the same with your pelvic floor exercises or your Kegel exercises. So you're trying to do a couple of sets or 2 to 3 sets, and then you try to repeat that 3 times a day. But try to do those early in your day when you're rested. So if you try to do those exercises at the end of the day, the muscles are tired. They've been working all day to try and hold your body up, and you're not going to be able to strengthen nearly as well. So if ladies are doing. So if ladies are working shift work, I normally say try to do it when you're fresh and while you're well rested. So it might be sleeping during the course of the day. But for most women, I say try and do your first set of exercises while you're lying down in bed. But then we progress from lying down. It's very important that women then start to do their exercises sitting and standing, because upright is where these problems happen. So standing when we're moving around. So we really need to train these muscles in the positions where these problems are going to occur, and usually this is standing. So that's when the muscles have to work the hardest, and that's where you most make your most strength gains.
And so should you be doing that on an empty bladder and bowel, or should you practice
great
also with...
That's a great question. It doesn't really matter, but when women are training for urgency, so if they've got problems with their bladder and their bladder feeling that sudden urge, I try to encourage them to do those exercises with the bladder fuller, because when the pelvic floor muscles contract, the bladder relaxes. It's like this, it's a trick. So when you're feeling urgent, contract your pelvic floor, and what you'll find is the urgency is the bladder contracting, squeezing down, and when you contract your pelvic floor muscles, it relaxes. So it's great to practice. And I say to women, okay, get in the shower when, you know, a bit, some running water might make you feel that urge to go. Have something in your bladder. So practice it with a fuller bladder. It doesn't matter if you leak a bit in the shower, but practice there and see if you can stop that urgency with urine in your bladder. That's a really great way of functional training. So, yeah, I think that's a really good point to make.
And I'm assuming there's something psychological about actually pulling your pants down and sitting on a toilet, your body just knows it's going to go. Should you do them then, or is that dangerous because you're training your body to stop when you want to flow?
That's a really good point too. So, yes, there's 2 points to that question. So when you've finished emptying your bladder, yes, do them. But if you actually do your exercise, you can do it as a test once a week to see if you can stop the flow. That's a really great way of knowing whether you're...
Now you're asking for trouble.
So especially if you've got a full stream. So I'm not talking a little trickle. If you've got that full stream and you can stop that flow, you can be very proud of yourself. You think, right, I've got this nailed.
but it's like giving a urine sample, is it? You're never sure when. Never sure how I'm going to get that jar in there and out again.
Hang on. Was that the start, or that you get the never-ending wee?
Michelle, I feel like I can share with you. I'm sharing far too much with our audience.
So the old key in the door. So there's a lot of brain work here. So a lot of women will find that as soon as they, even getting into the driveway, I need that. That's the urgency. Or you put the key in the door. There's all these triggers. A rainy day, you know, and I might even just be seeing a toilet, and that'll trigger that urgency. So our brains, it's the old Pavlov's dog thing, you know, you see that there's that trigger and it actually causes that. So what we try and do is actually do your pelvic floor exercises when that happens to try to relax the bladder as part of your management strategy of bladder urgency. And that's very important. So watch for those triggers. We get people to identify their triggers. What are those? And everyone will have different triggers. Might be doing a presentation. It might be, you know, a rainy day. It might be anything, but everyone's different. So you could do your test when you're emptying a bladder, and do that once a week as a test only, just to know how your pelvic floor muscles are working. But regularly, you can do them after you've finished, but not during as a practice, because then that can affect the way the bladder empties and affect health, bladder health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also a great way to see how you're tracking with your exercises, isn't it? If you're doing that once a week, you should be seeing improvements within a week, or is this something that would take sort of months?
That's a great question too. Shelley, it depends. Some women, when they start their pelvic floor exercise, the Kegels, will notice a change within 1 to 2 weeks. And it's really important that I mention this because we now know that the very first recommended treatment and the highest level of evidence is now for pelvic floor exercises for women that have bladder leakage. So rather than going on medications, rather than having surgery, the first line of treatment is pelvic floor exercises. And this is with the Australian Medical Association, the Royal the Royal Association of Obstetricians. Everyone knows this. This is your first line of treatment. So they will say to you, the specialist will often say to you, have you done your pelvic floor exercises? So yes, that's really important. So in terms of how long you can expect to expect gains, some women will notice within a couple of weeks. For full strengthening, if you've got a very weak pelvic floor, it can take up to 6 months of progressive exercises. But a lot of women just find by actually getting the nerve to muscle connection, by engaging the correct muscles and learning to do that, then they actually start to make improvements straight away. But then what you're thinking about, you're going to try to thicken the pelvic floor muscle. So it's actually a thin layer of muscles. So we're actually trying to build up thickness, just like if you're building up thickness in your arm muscles or your leg muscles when you're doing strength training. It's the same with the pelvic floor. So our exercises try to make those muscles thicker, firmer, and a more firm support against those downward pressures so that the bladder neck doesn't move around, and so that the prolapse, or if there's a prolapse, those organs don't move down in the vagina if you've had surgery to protect it. So we're trying to make that really strong and thick, and that is the purpose of those exercises and doing them when your body needs them to be working in the gym, whether they're, you know, when you're going to the shops, when you're lifting the grandchildren, all those sorts of things, those activities that involve us with lifting and moving around during the course of the day.
There are so many things, aren't there? Almost every activity is going to be affected by the strength of your pelvic floor. There's not one action on earth, whether it be making the bed or doing the groceries or, as you say, lifting grandchildren.
You are so right. Don't we take it for granted? And they're working for us right now as you and I are sitting here. Everyone that's listening, our pelvic floor muscles are working right now.
So let's talk about prolapse, because obviously that's something I don't know a lot about. Can you explain what it is and what the cause of it is?
So a prolapse means basically something moving out of position. So we can have a prolapse of different tissues in the body. With respect to the vagina and the anus, a prolapse means that the organs in your, and an organ sounds confusing, so it means something like your bladder, which is an organ, your uterus, or your bowel, can move in the walls of the vagina. So it actually slips out of position and it bulges. So if you imagine the vagina like a cone or like a cylinder, the walls then move inwards and it gets pressed inwards. If you imagine like a little house, so if you've got a prolapse of the bladder, say, the bladder in the front will push that front wall in. And what can happen then is that wall can actually come down and come out of the vagina. So women might find that with a bladder prolapse, they've got problems emptying their bladder. Think, why won't my bladder empty? And it's because it's actually moved down to the vagina. Typically, women with a prolapse, they'll start to feel like a heavy sensation in the vagina, a dragging, particularly towards the end of the day, a bulge in the vagina. And a lot of women, you get a mirror and have a look, and they'll come to me and say, Michelle, I saw a bulge. I can see a bulge in my vagina. This is something that's really important to get checked out. I'll just say this medically for a start. Either see a pelvic floor physio or see your GP if you do notice a bulge in your vagina. But this is one of the classic ways. And this is, as I said, this is 1 in 2 women that will ever have a vagina delivery. There's varying degrees of prolapse. So some women, it'll just be a bit of movement in the vaginal walls, which say perhaps the back passage, the bowel moving into the rectum. And those women will find that, it's really hard to get my bowel emptied. And that's because the stool is coming down. It's actually making a bit of a track into the back wall of the vagina before it comes out of the anus. And so there's a women with rectocele or posterior vaginal wall prolapse, we call, have a lot of problems with bowel emptying. But this can become so debilitating. I don't want to frighten people, but there is a progression with prolapse that can be stopped with correct exercises. But what women find, some women find, and prolapse surgery is a very big business in Australia and worldwide, with the tissues falling in and down, and the uterine prolapse, where the uterus comes down inside the vagina. Women might find they can't try to put a tampon, and that the tampon hits something, that will be the cervix, and the cervix coming down. So basically it's the organs coming inside the vagina, pressing against the walls of the vagina, and then sometimes at a stage 3 or 4, they can come out of the vagina, and you can see a visible bulge at the end of the entrance of the vagina.
That sounds so distressing. Is it an emergency? Like, this to me sounds
like an emergency. This is a very distressing problem for many women. And I can't begin to tell you the emotional impact that this has on so many women. And I really, I'm not sure that that's properly addressed these days either, especially in view of the fact that it is such a common problem. Women will feel this sense of shame. Often they don't want their partners to know about the issue. They feel very embarrassed with intimacy, and intimate relationships can be affected depending on the degree of the problem. So I think this is where open discussion is really important, to normalise this, to say, okay, your partner won't notice, unless he's a gynecologist or obstetrician. He's not going to know what's going on in there, really. But so your partner won't notice. That's the first thing. But this is what I was saying before. Some women feel very angry that they weren't told about this beforehand because it can become have a very big impact on a woman's life if she doesn't know how to manage this. And this is where prolapse management is a very important part of pelvic floor physiotherapy. And this is what I'm very passionate about, because women will say then, I need to stop exercising. How am I going to exercise? I'm going to gain so much weight. Now I can't run. Now I can't go to the gym. You can. They can. They can live a very happy life. They can minimise the risk of that prolapse worsening by managing the prolapse very well, managing their bowel, doing their pelvic floor exercise, doing pelvic floor safe or friendly exercises in the gym, or as terms of fitness, and I can talk about that all day to you. That's one of my passions, about keeping women. It's very important to keep active. In fact, that's part of pelvic floor management, because the stronger your whole body is, the less pressure on your pelvic floor. So when you're lifting, if your arm muscles are strong, less pressure on your pelvic floor, the less body weight you're carrying. And I'm not about fat shaming at all, but I think it's very important that women are aware that the more fat we carry on our stomachs and our bellies, and that's part of menopause, we get that fat shift to our belly, then it loads our pelvic floor, and it weighs down on the pelvic floor, worsens prolapse, it worsens bladder problems. So it's this awful cycle that women can get into of not exercising, finding that they're putting on weight, not knowing what to do, with the whole thing getting worse. Weight gain, prolapse, pelvic floor problems, bladder leakage, and it's all very much interlinked.
We are absolutely about that here, and it's not about weight. It's about waistline, and as you say, the wellness and the medical conditions and the medical problems that come with carrying that extra weight. And for you to even explain it in relation to your pelvic floor, it does affect every aspect of your health.
It does, and so many women don't exercise because they're worried about bladder leakage, because they're worried about their prolapse worsening. And this is something that's completely unnecessary. Women can exercise, and it's vital that we all do, for everything, for our mental health, cardiovascular health, bone density. The list just goes on. And I just think that if women are empowered to know about their pelvic floor, our pelvic floor, exercising our pelvic floor helps us to exercise our whole body. So it's a holistic approach. It's not just thinking about a few Kegels or a few pelvic floor exercises along the way. It's about integrating that into a whole body approach to exercise and fitness and whole body wellness for women. Very important.
It does need to be, doesn't it, a part of your daily practice, and we're saying twice a day. Yeah. So if you're doing your Pilates or your yoga, or we talk a lot about breath work, meditation here, Kegels just has to now be a part of your everyday regime.
Put it into the gym program. If you're doing a bit of a cool down at the gym, lie down or sit on the bench, or even between sets and reps. That's when I sometimes do my pelvic floor exercises, between when I'm resting between a set, or when I'm, you know, waiting at the elevator. Oh, you know, I'm waiting at the cashier. How long do we spend waiting? You know, and when I'm waiting, that's the signal for me. Do my pelvic floor exercises. That fit them into your routine, especially if you're doing an exercise.
All about multitasking here. We're all about
that, aren't we? We can. We're women.
Oh, look, I really feel like you've opened up not a whole conversation here, but a whole world for people to go, oh, it's not just me, but I do still have to put in the work. I'm not the only one, but I will still have to do the work myself. And I know we'll have all the links there, but I know that your YouTube channel is incredibly popular and you've got all of these wonderful open conversations there for people to talk through everything, and not just women's health there. You're very proactive on men's health as well.
Mm. And can I just say too, in terms of doing the work, I'd like to frame it as doing the exercises in terms of self-care, but knowing that once you've achieved that point of doing the exercises every day, pelvic floor exercises, then if you maintain those exercises by maintaining the strength gains and the fitness gains by doing them twice a week, you'll maintain those gains. So that's something we can all readily incorporate into our everyday lives. So I think this is part of holistic management, looking after ourselves, loving ourselves and caring for ourselves, and sharing it with our daughters, with our daughter-in-laws, with our grandchildren as well. So very important, Shelley. And Shelley, thank you so much for inviting me on today and giving me the opportunity to share this important information with your listeners. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, we thank you, because, again, we probably can't have this conversation. Well, we couldn't have until now with many of our friends and family, and hopefully the elephant is out in the open.
I hope so, because you can bet your bottom dollar that someone else in that coffee table of four of you is experiencing the same thing as you.
That's lovely. Thank you. What a great end.
Yeah.
As always, the Aging Project podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes. Always seek medical advice from a qualified practitioner.